Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to be entering into a study on the book of Revelation. In this book, I believe there's also a key question that is asked and answered. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Once you look in verses 9 and 10. And this would be naturally the question in some of these Christians' minds who are suffering, and even some of them who've seen their friends or loved ones die. Revelation 6, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, he'd got this sacrificial altar, I saw under the altar the souls of those been slain for the word of God and the testimony, for the testimony which they held. So you've got this altar scene representing a sacrifice replete with Old Testament imagery. And who's under that altar? The souls of Christians who didn't give in. What are these Christians doing? Look in verse 10. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So you've got these Christians, they're suffering, some of them are martyrs for Christ, and the natural question is, God, how long are you going to let this go on? Well, look at the answer given in verses 11 following. They're given white robes, and in essence they're told, you just hang on a little longer, and God will take care of things. Look how they're clothed. They're given a place of honor in the sight of God, and God promises to take care of all things. Friend, there's a very practical principle here, and that is, when we suffer as Christians, 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says we're all going to, when it looks like an evil, ungodly world that is based often on humanism and atheism, it looks like that's growing more and more, and Christianity seems to be not as popular. When all those things happen, we cry out to God, God, how long are you going to let this happen? God says, you've got the right white robe also, and you just wait a little longer, and I'll take care of things. Romans chapter 12, toward the end, says this, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And so these Christians are told, I'm going to take care of it by God, and you're given a place of honor in my sight for your faithfulness to me. I've heard people say, and you may have as well, I remember someone starting a study on the book of Revelation, and I heard a dear sister in Christ say, the book of Revelation? Why do we need to study that? As though it was something wrong with studying the book of Revelation, as though we couldn't understand it, and it was sinful. I understand that this book is a little different. The language is a little different. But friend, if you, in your personal study, delete the book of Revelation, you're missing out on some of the greatest material of encouragement and comfort in all of Scripture. Now, let me show how this is a very practical book that applies to each one of us in our daily life. Won't you open your Bible with me to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. I want you to see that this is a book that we can all learn lessons from and that we can take encouragement from. Revelation chapter 2, I want us to read verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw you in prison, that you may be tested. You'll have tribulation 10 days. And look at this passage. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Friend, the principle taught in Scripture is so relevant and practical for us. Is it true that we today are going to suffer? Paul said in Acts 14, verse 22, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, all who desire to live godly will suffer as a Christian. I'm going to suffer, you're going to suffer. It may not be to the extent they suffered, but there will be suffering. That being said, here's the encouragement. Even if you're thrown in prison, even if you're put in the worst place you could ever imagine, you be faithful unto death, Jesus said. And I'll give you the crown of life. The principle for us is no matter what, don't ever, ever give up. Why? Because you and I, we have the crown of life promised for us. You see, my life in the here and now, what's it all about? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, we were bought at a price, and our whole duty in life with body and spirit is to glorify God. We are to be a living sacrifice unto Jesus. Romans 12, verse 1, in view of that, if we remain faithful, look at what we win. Let's say that you give up on the Lord and you have all the pleasures in this life. What do you really get in the end? You die and go to hell. Would that really be worth all those pleasures? Well, let's say you have to miss out on some of those passing pleasures, Hebrews 11, verse 25. Let's say you suffer, bad things happen to you in this life, and yet in the end you remain faithful and you went to heaven. What would you have? Turn to Revelation 21, I want you to see. I believe this is a scene of the glorified church in the heavenly realm. And look at what you win. Look at why it's worth it to be faithful unto death. John said, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. And notice the beauty of this place. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Why do we want to be faithful unto death? I want to go to a place where you never have to go to a funeral, where you never have to preach a funeral again. Wouldn't you like to go to a place like that, where you never have to grieve, where there's no sorrow, where there's no sickness, where there's no sin, no more crying? God's going to take and wipe away all tears. My friends, you can't find anything worth more than that in all this world. You must be faithful unto death so that we can have the hope of eternal life. Now, here's another very practical principle from the book of Revelation. We are given a threefold way to overcome Satan. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Watch this now. They overcame him by sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the word of their testimony, Scripture, and they overcame him because they did not love their lives to the death, self-sacrifice. You have the sacrifice of Jesus. My friend, without the sacrifice of Jesus in your life and in mine, there's no way to overcome the devil. Genesis 3 and 4, Adam and Eve sinned. Romans 5, verse 12 says, because all have sinned, we all suffer the consequences when the door was opened. Romans 3, 23, each of us personally has sinned, and that sin, the wages of it, is death. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, you cannot defeat the devil. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4 teaches us that it is through His death, burial, and resurrection, we die to sin, we're buried with Him, and we rise to walk in newness of life. But notice they also overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. Ask yourself, what was the word of the testimony of these apostles, first century Christians, especially the inspired men of God? What was the word of their testimony? My friends, it's much of it is this right here that we have. The word of their testimony is the word that is recorded for us in Scripture. They were able to overcome Satan because of their faith in the Bible, faith in the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it's able to save us from a sinful life. James 1 and verse 21, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Jeremiah 15 verse 16, Jeremiah said, your words were found and I did eat them and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And so may we also realize that through the Scriptures we can overcome the devil. But notice that third thing also. You've got the sacrifice of Jesus, you've got the Scriptures, but look again at verse 11. Notice that last statement. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Look at this. And they did not love their lives unto the death. Friend, there's no way to defeat the devil until you make up your mind. No matter what happened, no matter what comes my way, I'm putting the Lord first and all else has to come second. Self-sacrifice is what Christianity is all about. Are you living for yourself? If so, my friend, you're not living the life you ought to. You ought to be a living sacrifice for Jesus. Romans 12 and verse 1. Everything we do ought to be to the glorification and magnification of our God. That's what life is all about. What did Jesus say in Luke 9 verse 23? He taught that if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What did Jesus say to the rich young ruler? He said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep commandments. He said, all that I've done from my childhood. Sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Come follow me. My friends, if we're really going to be committed to the Lord, we've got to make self-sacrifice a part of everyday life. You know how Satan often gets into our lives? I believe Satan gets into our lives because sometimes he can see areas in my life and areas in your life where we've not really let the Lord have first place, where we've decided to have our cake and eat it too, if you'll use that expression. So we must be careful that in all areas of life, the Lord comes first. Now, does that mean we can't have fun, that we can't enjoy life, that we can't do things in this life? Not at all. But it means in everything I do, I've got to first and foremost ask myself, what would God want me to do? And what do the Scriptures teach about this matter? And so that is a very important principle for us. All right, I'd like for you to look in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. I want you to see another very practical theme. Chapter 4 and chapter 5, you've got a majestic throne room scene. In Revelation 4, God here is pictured as on the throne. You've got the angels, the cherubim surrounding Him. They're falling down and they're giving honor to God, the Great One. And then you look in chapter 5, and John begins to weep because there's no one to open this scroll. And then they see the Lamb who was slain from eternity. And He is able to open the scroll and to unleash the vengeance found therein. And look at what is said in Revelation 5 and verse 12. Actually, look first in Revelation 4 verse 11. Speaking to God, they say, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Now look in Revelation 5, verse 12. These who hear this voice of the angel, they say in verse 12 with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. My friends, as we read this idea, worthy is the Lamb, we've got to realize that Christ is worthy. God is worthy of all things in my life. You know, my life and yours, it ought to be spent to the glory of God. What is life all about for you? What's life all about for me? What's the main purpose? If we could sum it up in one terse statement about the purpose of life, what would it be? God said through Isaiah in Isaiah 43 verse 7, Everyone who's been called by My name, whom I've created for My glory, I have formed him, yes, I've made him. If you claim to call yourself a child of God, or if you do call yourself a child of God, then friend, you were created for the glory of God. What does God deserve who is worthy from you? That in every aspect of life, that we use it to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, Paul said, Whether we eat or whether we drink, whatever we do, we're to do all to the glory of God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He's worthy of all my time, all my effort, all my energy. He's worthy to receive first place in all things in my life.